Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity that this particular Sunday is not just another Sunday, but a brand new Sunday where you cause us together to worship you. May your name be lifted up as we confess our sins before you. With our sinful depravity, we cannot be here by our own ability, but we take on the righteousness of Jesus on us, who poured his blood to save us from all our sins. Holy Spirit, we invite your Holy Spirit here, and just a strongly present so that we'll be able to understand the spiritual matter, the things of the Spirit, the things of the kingdom of God. Let those things be clearly understood in our heart deep down, so that we'll be able to love you and believe in you and serve you and surrender all our will to yours. We lift up our missionaries all across the world, India, Samuel Sunda, and China, Jerry and Lucy, and Pastor Kwok and Pastor Har, and Joshua Lee, and Japan, the Taylor family, and Thailand, Yongsan Shin and John Lee. And lift up all our Sunday worship from these local churches, Father. Let this day be the day that you transform us. We thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have you heard someone saying to you, you must be born again? It sounds like very blunt. But if you have not, this morning, Jesus is speaking to all of us. You must be born again. This is indeed what Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. Let us find out how this happened. Please turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We are going to read verses 1 through 16. John 3, 1 through 16. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with you, God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know and bear witness of that which we have sin, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things, you do not believe. And how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. And as the Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he has given his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So this is the story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was So first of all, Pharisees. You know, what does that mean? Nicodemus was elite of the elites because he was Pharisees, and the Pharisees are those people who spend all their lives observing every details of the scribal law. The scribe defines these laws, and the Pharisees put them into practice by obeying all of it, all together. So they were very religious people. And the Pharisaic Judaism was the mainstream denomination or sect in the time of Jesus. Many rabbis were also from this sect of Pharisees. They were also regarded as religious police. And as such, we have seen from the Bible, they collided many times with Jesus, head-on clash. And they spy on Jesus, what this man is doing, because they were suspicious of Jesus' theology. And according to John, Nicodemus was also a ruler of the Jews. You know, what does that mean? There is something we need to make note of it. The ruling authority in Jesus' time was called the Sanhedrin, which was a court of 70 judges, 70 people, and all religious, even political matters were determined by this Sanhedrin. They were basically the Supreme Court of the Jews. And even under the Roman rule, the Sanhedrin exercised their tremendous influence and power, and they were considered predominantly of the high priest and only few Pharisees, and of which Nicodemus was one of them. So this implies that Nicodemus was indeed top elite of Jews. But there is more. Nicodemus must have been very wealthy as well. According to John 19:39, after Jesus' death, he brought for Jesus' dead body a mixture of myrrh and spice, about 100 pound weight, which is enormous amount, and it's very costly. And only a wealthy man could have afforded that. So we can see that Nicodemus had it all. He had respect and power and wealth. But in verse 2, we see very interesting progress. Read verse 2. This man came to him by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these things, these signs that you do, unless God is with him." So John recorded, Nicodemus came by night. You know, what does that mean? It could be that he was cautious not to be seen by the people, especially by his fellow Pharisees, who are very judgmental and who always, suspect people. He doesn't want to be the victims of that suspicion. That could be one possibility. Or it could be that he wanted to have a one-on-one conversation with Jesus because he knows that Jesus is very busy, like any other rabbis, as they taught their disciples during daytime, and they do their own ministry during daytime. So it could be well be that he tried to have one-on-one dialogue with Jesus. And as we see in verse 2, he recognized the signs and wonders performed by Jesus. That got interest in him. This is very unusual for a Pharisee to give Jesus due respect and honor. We see some glimpse of humility in Nicodemus. Besides, he must have overcame his prejudice and his life perspective enough to come to Jesus. You know, we can see that Nicodemus was searching for more. Yet, he did not have understanding in the matter of the spiritual realm. He was operated by the externals of signs and wonders, like many other crowds. They chase after signs and wonders of Jesus. You know, they were interested in those signs and wonders, not necessarily in Jesus. But they are the externals, you know, phenomena, you know, miracles. You know, we want to see that as a you know, natural inclination. Maybe Nicodemus was like one of them, without really having understanding of who is causing the spiritual realm, who is causing the spiritual work. You know, verse 3 is a very important verse. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You know, Jesus did not even say any salutations, any greetings, but cut to the chase. You know, what is important, most important matter of life to Jesus is if a person is born again, so that he would be able to perceive and experience the kingdom of God. You know, while Nicodemus was interested in the external, Jesus was interested in the internal. You know, what is being born again? Have you heard the word called born-again Christian? A lot of people saying, "I am born-again Christian." That origin of that word came from the very word of Jesus. You must be, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So what is the born-again means? Again, in Greek word is anothen. That could mean three meanings. First, from the beginning, completely radically. And second meaning could be from above, from God. And third meaning, again, for the second time. So Jesus apparently used born again to mean born from God, born radically and completely differently. He's not talking about for the second time, per se, as a you know numeric, first time and second time. So Jesus referring to born again as a spiritual birth. Spiritual birth, not physical birth. If you recall John 1:12, let me read it for you. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor will of man, but of God." So according to Jesus, being born again is being born of God, which is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And without being born from God or born of God, we cannot understand the realm of the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God would be foolish. How can you believe something that is not visible, something that is coming? It's just foolishness to those who still live in the physical realm alone. So Jesus is talking about the most important life matter. He's talking about life, not phenomena. You know, signs and wonders may serve the purpose for some people. As Jesus turned water into wine, glory of God was there, and then disciples believed in him. That's a good case, but if you keep chasing signs and wonders as a routine of your life, you never, pursue what is more important thing, which is life in you. And look at Nicodemus' response in verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" It's clear that Nicodemus did not have understanding of the spiritual realm. He understood being born again as born a second time physically, which is impossible. That's how he understood Jesus saying. You know, with that understanding, of course, no one can be physically born again, entering into mother's womb for the second time. I don't know where you are coming from. And Jesus is asking this question to each one of us. Are you born from God? Are you born again? Are you born of God? Are you born of the Holy Spirit? You know, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is saying. Do you see yourself, the kingdom of God? Do you perceive the realm of the spiritual? Do you experience the heavenly reality in your daily life? Do you have fellowship with Jesus in your daily walk? If you can say yes, then you are born from God. But if not, you may be like Nicodemus. Let's think about Nicodemus. He was startled because he thought he's a Jew. As a Jewish people, they know that they will go into the kingdom of God as a free ticket, automatic ticket, because they are the chosen people. So when Jesus talks about kingdom of God, unless one is born again, he cannot see nor enter into the kingdom of God. That was a big surprise to hear. Nicodemus may be just like us. I don't know what kind of background you have, but some of you were born because your parents are Christian. You're born out of that the situation, so you think that you are you've been coming to church all along. So you may feel that, you may think that you are you will go into heaven. You will understand the things of the spiritual. But that may not be the case. Just because you come to church doesn't mean that you are born of the Spirit, born from above. Just like Nicodemus, he was most religious man of his time, and yet he did not have understanding and experience this kingdom of God. And look at verse 5. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." This is the second time Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you." In verse 3, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." This time, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." This time Jesus is explaining the nature of being born again more clearly and its consequences, failing to be born again. Born again is the same word as being born of water and the Spirit. It's basically the same thing, born from above. What does this mean? Water is a means by which our sins are cleansed. As we confess our sins, repent from them, God washes us from all our sins. But this is not just our own volition, our own will. It got to be tied with the Holy Spirit. That's why born of water and the Spirit. As I said, this work of repentance is closely tied with the work of the Holy Spirit. Born of the Spirit means regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the life giver, which is called eternal life, which is not the same life that we are used to, which is radically different life. We are basically live life of God, life of Jesus, when Holy Spirit touches us, so that we'll be able to repent from our sins and in communion with the Lord. That's what Jesus is talking about, born again, born from the above, born of water and of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the life giver. He awakens us to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior as we confess our sin. He enlightens our heart to understand the reality of the kingdom of God, and he makes us understand the depravity of our heart and thus lead us to repent from all our sins. So born of water and the Spirit is one thing. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit gives a new life in us, we are washed from all defilement to be a child of God in Jesus Christ. And let's look at this part. Unless one is born of water and Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This is a consequence. Jesus is addressing the consequence of not being born of the water and Spirit. And the consequence of not being born from God it's not just inability to perceive the kingdom of God, but also the inability to enter into the kingdom of God. You know, it is fatal to fail to enter the kingdom of God. The whole purpose of Jesus is to save us from the pending judgment of God. You know, failing to enter the kingdom of God is to enter the hell, eternal hell. You know, there is no such place as purgatory, a place between heaven and hell. You know, according to Jesus, he never alluded that possibility. Either you go to hell or go to heaven. And Jesus, he said, unless you are born of the Spirit, you are bound to hell. So there's a big consequence that we need to really take it seriously. You know, Matthew 13, verses 41 to 43, Jesus said this, "The Son of Man," referring to him, "will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. In that place there shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has an ear, let him hear." This is probably one of the most stern warning that came out of Jesus' mouth. He is very blunt. He's very cut to the chase. That our destiny will be decided when Jesus comes back second time. And there will be a big division. One are bound into the eternal hell. The other bound into the eternal kingdom of God. In other words, heaven. So you either enter the kingdom of God, heaven, or enter the hell. And that is your permanent position. You cannot transfer from one from the other. So there's a big consequence depending on whether we are born of the Spirit, born from God or not. And Jesus said, verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." You know, in this verse, Jesus explained the radical difference between the flesh and the spirit. It's like oil and water. They cannot be mixed up. Either you are born of the flesh or born of the spirit. It is impossible to understand the realm of the spirit from the realm of the flesh. The earthly mind cannot understand the heavenly mind. And verse 7, Jesus said, "Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." You must be born again. Jesus spoke to Nicodemus in a very personal way this time. Previously said, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of the Spirit. It's a general statement. But now, here, verse 7, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." This is the most important thing that Jesus speaking, not just to Nicodemus, but to all of us. In all generation, he's speaking the most important words out of his mouth. You must be born again. There are two big consequences not to be saved. You know, Jesus cared about Nicodemus, although he did it in a very blunt fashion. Very blunt fashion. You know, I think we are too mellow or too nice when sharing the gospel with others. You know, we are not trying to persuade. We just declare the consequence right there, just like Jesus did. The evangelistic approach of Jesus is very blunt. He just cut to the chase and then, you know, lay the bombshell and drop it right there so that either it's exploded or transformation take place. You know, we are too nice not to talk about those private matter. That's the culture enforces us to be so, but we don't have to be that nice. I think, you know, if you are followers of Jesus, we need to be a little bit more blunt and cut to the chase. tell the truth right there. I remember a movie called Cassandra Crossing. I don't know if anyone has watched this. This is a quite old movie. It was about the rescue mission of the train that was headed to a broken bridge. I still remember the very serious faces of these two actors, Richard Harris and Burt Lancaster. Do you know them? You know, I never seen them smile. They're always so serious. And these are the two main actors, along with O.J. Simpson and others. And I still remember vividly what they are trying to do. They are so serious, making, you know, their face and then, you know, do, you know, their mission rescue, the rescue mission out of their desperation, knowing that unless they stop the train, the train will hit the broken bridge and then they will fall. You know, that's the image of hell. Unless someone stops, you know, we are all hellbound. You know, that's why Jesus is so blunt to Nicodemus. Jesus doesn't care too much about what kind of honor, respect, and religious life Nicodemus had. All that mattered for Nicodemus was whether he's saved or not. That's Jesus' concern. You know, that should be our concern for ourselves also, for others that we know. You must be born again in order to avoid the pending disaster of our hell-bound life direction. Verse 8, Jesus said, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." You know, what does this mean? Wind in Greek word is pneuma, and Spirit in Greek word is pneuma. It shares the same word. Ruach is a Hebrew word of wind and Spirit. Both Hebrew and the Greek, wind and Spirit are the same word. It's amazing. So, what Jesus is telling us is that we feel the movement of the wind. Although we may not see where it comes from, where it's going, but when wind blows, we know that wind blows. Likewise, the people born of the Spirit are aware of the movement of the Spirit of God. Although we don't fully understand how Spirit operates, but we know that Spirit is operating in our life if we are born of the Spirit. So that's what Jesus is telling, that. And Nicodemus answered in verse 9 and said to him, "How can these things be?" That means he has never experienced this movement of the Spirit. He was completely ignorant, completely shut down from the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, Nicodemus is now startled not only by the discovery of his need for being born of God, but also by his lack of understanding of the spiritual reality. You know, although he was a quite top-notch man of his time, he was completely lost in Jesus' eye. And look at verse 10 and verse 11. Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things?" Another rebuke. Basically, Jesus is saying, you know, you may have a high position, respected teacher, but you have no understanding of the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, the matter of Holy Spirit. And verse 11, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, this is third time. I haven't seen any occasion in the entire Bible," Jesus said, "truly, truly, I say to you," to a person three times. That he's so serious. "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness." Jesus continued to rebuke Nicodemus out of his love because he cares so much about what he is destined to. While Nicodemus is focused on physical and external phenomena of signs and wonders of God in Jesus, and he was very courteous. He had salutations and greeting. You know, very pious man and kind man. But that is not the most important thing of life. Jesus is focused on life and internal spiritual reality of eternal life with God for that person. In verse 11, we just read, Jesus is saying, he as the Son of God and the Trinity knows what he's talking about. He came from the Father, he goes to the Father. He used the wind analogy, and he is the originator of the wind. He knows where the wind blows, where it came from, where it's going, because he is the initiator of the move of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who sent the Holy Spirit to us. That's why he knows the move of God, because he is God himself. No one can say this saying, verse 11, unless Jesus is divine. If you look at John 8:14, let me read it for you. Jesus answered, said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going, and you do not know where I come from or where I am going. So Jesus is talking about the same thing here. He knows the origin and the source and the destination of the wind, the move of the Holy Spirit, because he is Holy Triune God, Son of God. You know, who can fathom the movement of the Spirit of God? Jesus can. Why? Because Jesus is God. Let's look at verses 12 and 13. If I told you earthly things you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. So Jesus is much more than a rabbi. Rabbis are well-respected teachers of Judaism. But that's how Nicodemus understood Jesus. But Jesus is saying here, he's a far greater than the greatest rabbis. The verse 13, no one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. He is saying he came from heaven. The Son of Man descended from there, and he ascended into heaven. So basically, Jesus is a sovereign Lord. Let's read the rest of the text today, 14 through 16. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, John 3:16 is the most quoted Bible reference. You know, when I was watching war series when I was in high school, in Korea, there was a channel called AFKN. It's a American military broadcast. I watched to learn English, and then I think it was late 70s, I was watching the World Series, and then I saw someone's placard. He was way outfielder, the audience. It was a big sign that I can see, John 3:16. You know, I still see this kind of placard here and there in the Major League World Series and, you know, Super Bowl, things like that, and even World Cup, you know, time to time I see on TV, because this is the most important Bible verse. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Perish is not disappearing. Perish is a total destruction in eternal hell. A lot of people think that if we die, we just disappear. It's not the case. Bible never talks about that. Jesus never said that. You will spend your all eternity in the fiery hell if you're not born of the Spirit, if you're not born of God. So John 3:16, God's love is manifested in the person of Jesus, the Son. God's love is to save us from being completely ruined in eternal hell. His method of salvation is through Jesus Christ. God punished his Son on our behalf. The crucifixion is a sign for that. If hell is not reality, God would not need to send his Son to die on the cross. God would not need to condemn his own Son on the cross unless hell is not the true reality. But because hell is true reality, God wanted to save us out of his love so that his Son would get punishment on our behalf in our place for our sin. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's a present tense. You know, we talked about this. This eternal life, another word for kingdom of God, can be realized in your life now and today. We'll have a full eternal life when Jesus comes back, but we can foretaste this glimpse of the eternal life in us by believing in Jesus, by surrendering all, by confessing our sins, repenting from all those, and commit ourselves to the word of Jesus and trust in him. We can enjoy this eternal life even now. There are three things I'd like to summarize about new birth. New birth is a new beginning. It's not an improvement. You know, there are so many things going on these days, self-improvement these days. Do these 10 tips to improve this and do that. You know, Jesus is not talking about that kind of improvement. He's talking about a new beginning. You know, Jesus is not talking about being a better person, nor is he addressing the need to be more religious. You know, our business as a church is not religious business. We are talking about new life, new beginning. Nicodemus has enough of religious life. He was perhaps pious, moral, and religious. He's a good guy, kind man. He's a blameless law practicer. He might be one of the best men that Jewish society can boast, and yet he didn't have this new beginning. He didn't have this new birth. Jesus does not say to him, you need to be better. Instead, he is saying to him, you need to be new. You need to be born again. If you are here to improve your life, you miss the point of Jesus. Either you have a new birth or not. Jesus wants you to have this new birth by the work of the Holy Spirit through your faith. New wine cannot be poured into the old wineskin. If you do, it will burst. Because new wine has a power. It's not like old wine. It's still, you know, expanding its molecules. So old wine cannot contain the new. The old wineskin cannot contain new wine. The old has to go. You know, you need your new wineskin to contain the new wine God is ready to pour. And Jesus wants all of us to have this new beginning, new birth. No matter what backgrounds you may have, it doesn't really matter. You must be born of the Spirit. Don't take it for granted that you may be saved. You may not. As Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, he's speaking to us, you must be born again. And second lesson, the new birth is caused by the Holy Spirit in Christ. You know, we cannot cause new births by our will. The new birth is the work of the Holy Spirit who witnesses to us the work of Jesus. Unless Holy Spirit convicts you, you cannot confess even your sin. You know, I thought I was Christian, and I came to the state, and someone said, you know, you must repent from your sins. I said, what are you talking about? I'm not a sinner. You know, Holy Spirit is yet to come when that person witnesses the gospel with me. He didn't take it for granted that I'm a Christian even though I was going to church. He bluntly said, you must, you know, repent from your sin. I said, what sin are you talking about? I didn't even know what sin means because Holy Spirit didn't touch me. You know, Holy Spirit is the agent of God who convicts us the sin, depravity in us. That's the beginning, very important step. If you still deny you're a sinner, you may not be touched by the Holy Spirit. You are yet to be saved from above. But if you recognize your sin, I think Holy Spirit is in operation in your life. You know, sin is nothing but being separated from God. If you have no desire to worship God and honor Him, that itself is called sin. You don't have to go to the list of sins, moral sins and ethical sins. Just the absence of our life that we don't want to recognize God, that itself is the biggest sin. It's a separation. But if you feel that, you know, you have been separated, but, you know, I wanna know God. I wanna be touched by Him, and I wanna have this brand new life. Then Holy Spirit has begun in His operation on you. Unless Holy Spirit regenerate us, we cannot repent our own, with our own ability. You know, we cannot originate the move of the wind. It is the will of the wind, and the wind is the Spirit, sovereign will, sovereign the will of the Lord. You know, likewise, we cannot initiate the free will of the Spirit. Holy Spirit is like wind, is moving by His will, sovereign will. We only feel its move and can catch the wind when wind blows. As wind blows, and we set our own sail so that we contain that wind in our sail, and that the power of the wind contained in the sail move our boat. But we cannot generate wind with our own ability. It's only by God's grace, Holy Spirit is coming to visit us, and when He recognizes that, as we set sail as a sailor does, we can take that wind, feel it, and then take it through our faith and receive Him. But the new birth is caused by the Holy Spirit. You know, Holy Spirit is a sovereign Lord who moves His wind according to His own will. But by grace of God, we can experience that and then set our own sail, which is called faith, and feel the move of the Holy Spirit and receive it. Then we are being regenerated by the Holy Spirit. So recognizing the move of God in spirit, in His Spirit, we humbly surrender to the move of God. That's what it means to repent and believe. So although new birth is caused by the Holy Spirit in Christ, this is the last point. New birth is appropriated by your believing. It's a very important principle. Appropriation. Make your own. You just set your sail and receive that wind and take it, because whoever receives the gift of God is saved through His grace by our faith. We are talking about faith here. The role of faith. Still, you know, our rebirth is a regeneration by the work of the Holy Spirit. The other side of the coin is our conversion. We take it, we receive it, we surrender to the will of God. That's how new birth is taking place. You know, we are the recipient of the work of God who gives a new birth, and all is done by the Lord. That's why we cannot boast our own salvation. But we simply surrender to receive the greatest gift of all in our salvation. So the true faith is inseparable from the regeneration work of the Holy Spirit. And in a sense, Holy Spirit is the giver of our own faith so that we would believe. We cannot cause us to believe unless Holy Spirit convicts us. The source of our salvation is God Himself. We simply receive by believing it. God has done all things possibly for each one of us to be saved through His Son Jesus and by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. One thing left to us is to appropriate God's salvation plan by surrendering, by believing in, by repenting, by confessing, by abiding in Him. Jesus said, "You must be born again." If you have seen enough of the move of the Holy Spirit in your life, you are being shaken, somewhat, by something that you have never experienced before, but you realize that you are being shaken. That is actually a signal of the Holy Spirit. And something that triggers in your heart, I want to be a different person. I want to have a different life. That is the move of the Holy Spirit. If someone tells you that your life needs to be changed, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit sent that person to you so that you'll be shaken with that good news. It's for you, motivated by the love of God. Heaven's door is wide open for each one of us, and the gate of the kingdom of God is near us. Enter into it as the Holy Spirit leads you. Believe in Jesus' name, repent, and come to Him. And follow Him. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, as wind blows, we recognize your move in our community. As we gathered here today, because of your invitation, we are here. It's not coincidence that we are here. And today we heard this stern statement of Jesus to Nicodemus and to us, you must be born again. You must be saved. Heavenly Father, we confess that this spoken word of Jesus is the way you awaken us. By proclaiming the written word of Jesus today as we declare, let your Spirit come to each one of us and have eternal habitation in each one's heart. And convicting all our sins and leading us to confess Jesus is our Lord and Savior who bore all our sins. Let us have this new life, new birth, completely different and radical. It's born from you. It originated from you. But let us just catch on that move of God and appropriate it by our faith, believing it and trusting. Let a new life begin. Let a new birth. It started today for all of us who have not experienced this new birth. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have done all things to be able to receive this new life in believing in you. As you send your Holy Spirit, let Holy Spirit come in our hearts and let us surrender to your will. Let the kingdom of God begin today in each one of us and have a different life of God that we live in Jesus Christ. We thank you in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Angels circled around him.
Father, we thank you that you lay the crown of life to some of us on their head to celebrate from heaven the life regenerated as of today. And thank you for your Holy Spirit and your angels who sing together with us in this church, even today, that you celebrate one lost soul found his life. We thank you for your ministry out of your grace upon Jubilee Church, that you continue to give new births to those who are lost. We thank you for your ministry. We bless those who are saved. And thank you, Jesus, you are the life giver. And Holy Spirit, we continue to surrender to your will, to follow Jesus, to proclaim faithfully this good news. May the grace of our Lord Jesus and the love of our God who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever.